All right, guys, welcome to the podcast today. I have my beautiful friend Maria here. We're going to dive into really talking about not only our eating disorder struggles, we both went through different phases of struggling with food, overthinking food, overcomplicating food, but also we really want to focus on what were the mindset shifts that helped us out of it. Like, how did we gain a better sense of who we were and our self-worth and self-value during recovery that I think then created our new life with food to stick. So I really want to introduce Maria, have her tell you guys a little bit about herself, and we'll just dive right in.
Thanks so much. I'm super, super excited to be here. Yeah, I mean, I love this topic. I think that it's super, super important. And, you know, a little bit about myself. I'm 24 years old. I grew up in Canada, but immigrated from Peru. And, you know, my mental health journey really started, you know, the earliest I could remember is at the age of 4, feeling super, super different and like there's something off with me. And, you know, going through life and, you know, things happening, going through like bullying and, you know, body image issues, depression, anxiety, and all these things kind of became this huge mountain and volcano that it was just gonna erupt, and it did. My mental health really got really bad at the age of 12, actually, and I had attempted suicide multiple times and dealt with a lot of self-harm. And throughout my journey, it was ups and downs and roller coasters, and you know, I developed a lot of different beliefs about myself. They're really, really negative. And that led me to addiction. And, you know, it was all around how I looked at myself. And if I looked at myself in the mirror, what I would see was this awful, awful person who didn't deserve to be happy and who didn't deserve recovery or anything like that. And slowly I started to work through my journey. But, you know, I've been in recovery from, you know, self-harm and around 5 years now, been, you know, clean and sober for a little bit over 2 years. And today I live a life worth living. And my message is to inspire people. And, you know, one of my beliefs is like, I don't want anybody to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, girl. Dang. And some of that I didn't even know. Like, I think it's so important to realize that you never know anyone online, right? Like Maria and I met online. There's so much more going on behind the screen. So to just love and be kind and gentle to people, you never know what their past has looked like, especially. And we have very similar experiences. I struggled at the age of 12. I developed my eating disorder in seventh grade. And I think what's so interesting, and you kind of brought this up, was we can sometimes go through bullying, or we can sometimes have people in our lives, whether that be like parental figures, teachers, doctors, like siblings even, who can tell us, you know, you're not worthy, like you suck, you're ugly, you're a failure, whatever it is that these messages are. And I think what we don't realize, and looking back at my own journey, and I'd love to hear your experience as well, is that when you're young, you don't really know how to let it, quote unquote, just like go one in ear and out the other. Like I held on to everything that people told me about myself, and also inadvertently things that people told me, meaning if I saw like a commercial online and it was like about a diet company or a diet pill or something promoting that this is how I had to look and this is who I had to be beautiful and to be liked by the guys, like all that kind of stuff, that I held on to those bullying thoughts. And then they ended up ruining my life for 10 years. Like they ran the show. Every time I would do anything, I would hear these voices in my head and go, yep, nope, you're right. And I was holding on to all of these judgments passed on myself from when I was young.
No, absolutely. I totally agree with that. I mean, you know, for the longest time, I didn't realize like who I was outside of what people said, what I was, right? So going through like bullying, right, in elementary school and high school, and people like were really, really mean to me and, you know, tell me that I was like a freak or I was weird or like there's something wrong with me, and all of those labels really stuck with me. And, you know, my family were not the closest bunch, and, you know, having them comment on my body just because they can, right? And all of those things, and social media is, oh God, you know, just any commercial or anything like that, when you look at social media, there's this ideal woman, and or men, right? And you have to like be like that, and if you're not like that, then you question yourself, and you know, maybe there's something wrong with me because my body doesn't look like that. And just trying to adjust and mold to society and what society wants you to look like, mm-hmm. even if it's not realistic to your body type.
Yeah, I love that you said, like, we cannot know who we are. I think, like, I've definitely, if you struggle with things like Maria and I are talking about, you probably also, and because I know this from personal experience, I was somewhat of a shapeshifter. I say that a lot, where I was a shapeshifter and I could be whoever people expected me to be. But throughout my life, that meant that I had no idea who Emily was, like truly and honestly. And I think it especially hit home in college, where I was, you know, for my teachers, I would be perfect to my teachers, but I was also perfect to my friends and perfect to my relationship. And when I say perfect, I mean that I would just bend over backwards. I would do anything and be anything and just please absolutely everyone I possibly could, because I just wanted everyone's approval of me because I had no idea who I was. And looking back on it, I think that's why my story is, after college, I crashed. The year after I graduated, I went through a serious, like, I would have panic attacks almost every day. I just couldn't talk to people. And like, listening to me now, I love to talk. I'm super friendly. Like, I couldn't be around people. I couldn't be in public. I just did not know what was wrong. And I think I truly was having an identity crisis because I just didn't know where I fit in this world. And your experience sounds similar, where it was like, we had to build up who we actually were. And I would love to know more, like, how did you start that process, right? Of being like, okay, this is what everyone's told me that I am, or this is what everyone's told me that I have to be. How do I kind of remove all of those layers and start to really figure out, like, yeah, but who is Maria and who is Emily?
Yeah. Oh man. I love that you say about the like shift shaping, right? Because like, I will like become whatever that person wants me to be, right? And like, I would shape and mold my life. And it was literally my life. Like, I would have like all of the ideal things that they wanted me to be. I'd be like, sure. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, oh, you want me to move? Sure. Yeah. You know, or straight A student? Absolutely. And I think that for me, it was really about figuring out who I am outside of the labels that I was, you know, put. And I remember being in the hospital because I got hospitalized multiple times for mental health. And the moment it clicked for me was when a doctor diagnosed me with something. And all of a sudden, all of the puzzle pieces came together. And I realized that there's nothing wrong with me. I have an illness. And that moment, I remember it so well because like, I feel like everything clicked, my whole life clicked. And I wasn't crazy, I wasn't a freak, I wasn't, you know, this awful human that people said I was. I had an illness. And after that point, I decided, okay, you can recover from an illness. You know, you can do remission, right? And I started to look at it as it was like a physical health issue. And, you know, I was looking at, okay, people that struggle with cancer, they go into remission, right? When you break a leg, it's fixed. But if you take an x-ray, there's still that crack, right? So a part of me, and I always say this, it's, I don't believe I'm broken. I don't believe people are broken. I believe that they're puzzle pieces. And, you know, everybody, if you look at a puzzle piece, it comes in a nice little box that has a beautiful picture. But, you know, some people have like 4 puzzle pieces, others 100. I happen to have like 1 billion. And sometimes, you know, they get lost along the way because I'm stepping on one or my cat took one, right? And it's about taking time to acknowledge that and to put the puzzle pieces together. And then it turns out to be a beautiful picture. And I needed to shift that in that perspective and say, like, I'm not broken. There's nothing wrong with me. I have an illness. So it was a slow process, and I'm, you know, it's taking years. You know, I may be out of, you know, self-harm and those negative thoughts for about 5 years, but I continue to work on that, right? And today I can look at myself in the mirror and be like, okay, I like that shit, right? I'm a badass. Like, I can do this. You're not that bad. And it was honestly years trying to figure out who I was.
Oh my gosh. I've used the puzzle piece analogy before too, because I think, yeah, you're not broken. There's nothing wrong with you. I think the best thing that I ever did was realize that maybe I wasn't the problem and my formula was. And I say that a lot. Like, I use this with my clients where it's like, we are somewhat fed by society this formula of like, you can achieve a perfect life. You can achieve a perfect body. You can achieve that lifestyle of having no problems, having no moments of sadness, having no like upsets around money, like that somewhat like big dream of like, if you lose this much weight, if you look this way, if you have this job and you have that significant other, you'll never be sad ever again, or you'll never struggle ever again. And so I think for me, I felt the exact same way, where I was like, what is wrong with me? Like, why do I struggle with food? And why, and I struggled with anxiety. So I was like, why can I just not freaking calm down? Or why can I not, you know, heal my relationship to food? But the moment that I finally did, and I think my turning point, like Maria was saying, like when I figured out who I was that there was nothing wrong with me. There was something wrong with the formula that I kept telling myself of who and how I had to be. I was fine. Like, having an anxious day is not the end of the world. But by me telling myself, like, I'm never allowed to have anxious days, created this like disconnect between who I was expecting to be and who I actually was, and it made me hate myself. Like, I was like, why can everyone else be perfect? Or why can everyone else like never struggle and all these things? Like, I had this whole fairy tale in my head of like, I'm the problem, that like I'm the problem, and if you believe that you're the problem, how in the world are you going to love yourself by or try to better yourself or try to go through recovery, right? I think we need to question like, what formula are we following? What are we telling ourselves that we must be or must look like or must have to be X, Y, and Z? I can nearly guarantee that the problem is with your math, not with who you are as a person. And as soon as you really accept, like, this is something I struggle with, people are allowed to struggle, this is an illness, this is a disorder, like whatever you want to call it, and it's okay. That is like, it sounds so simple, but it's so hard. Like Maria said, it's so hard to be like, everything's fine, but truly, like, everything's fine. And when you sit down and start to realize that the worst thing you can do is try to be perfect, because it's impossible. So you're always going to fall short. You're always going to feel that guilt and shame that you don't have to go through. That was when I started to really, yeah, get better, was to just accept that, like, this was a part of me and it's a piece of my puzzle and there's nothing wrong with it being there. What's wrong is me trying so damn hard to like completely remove it and hate it away.
And, you know, everything you're saying, it's really about acknowledging your feelings, right? And when looking at social media, right, when I open my Instagram, all I see is, you know, people that have like this perfect life, and I assume that there's no problems because there's this thing that's portrayed. And if I don't have that, then there's something wrong with me. And it's about acknowledging your feelings. So when I see that, I have to really sit with myself if it really bothered me. And I'm, listen, Maria, like, it's okay. It's okay not to have those things. You don't know what's happening in their lives. And every little thing, like, I also struggle with anxiety. So my anxiety sometimes wants to, like, run my life or my day. And I just have to sit there and acknowledge it. Right? And, you know, acknowledge that, you know, anxiety wants to be felt today. So let's give it 5 minutes. Right, an increment of 5 minutes, and just be there and feel my anxiety and be like, okay, what's going on? right? And I talk to myself. And thank God I live by myself, because, you know, totally I would sound a little bit like questionable. But I really have to fight with my anxiety and be like, not today, not right now, you're fine, not right now. And then, you know, half an hour later, I'll come back and I'm like, okay, now it's the time. Let's figure out how you feel. But it's honestly about acknowledging. And for me, I didn't want to acknowledge any of that, because then it wouldn't mean that I was perfect. And if you're perfect, you're happy. You're happy all the time, right? You have the perfect friends. You have this and that. And if you don't acknowledge it, it piles up and eventually it explodes.
Well, if you're scared of something, yeah, if you're scared of something, it controls you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And when it came to my eating, because I associated having this image of how I wanted to look like, or the scale, anything like that, for me in my brain, I was like, if I hit a certain weight, or if I look a certain way, that means I'm perfect. That means everything's going to be fine. But it wasn't.
Yeah, oh my gosh, girl. Yep, exactly. I think like one of the biggest tips that I used myself, and you just said it, it's beautiful, is gaining and developing self-certainty, meaning that you're not going to be perfect, but what you are going to start to do is make the choice to feel however you're feeling. Because for me, I always like, if I felt happy, so if I like woke up happy, I was like, yeah, I feel happy. Wouldn't question it. Like wouldn't say, I'm like, yay, I feel happy. Great. But if I woke up and I felt anxious, I would start to like beat myself up about it. I would start to like feel really bad. I would start to feel really like upset. And I would start to have all those thoughts spiraling in my head. And what I do now and what I tell my girls is choose to feel anxious. Like have that self-certainty of like, you know what? I feel anxious. It is what it is. Like what's going on? What's happening? When you fear certain emotions, they completely control you, and you're going to feel them more often as well, because you're not welcoming them and just being like, what's happening? All right, let's let it go. And so I think developing a sense of self-certainty of making choices, and choices for yourself don't always have to necessarily be quote unquote positive. Like I've even talked about before, like I'll have certain days where for whatever reason, like I just cannot calm down. I just can't do it. And it's okay. And so I just kind of take time off and I like watch some YouTube, or I sit down or whatever. But the point is I'm choosing to do that. I don't feel a victim to my emotions. I say, okay, like today I feel really shitty. Whatever's going on, it's fine. I'm going to relax and like have a good day, and it's done. And you're making choices that aren't like, that really aren't good or bad. It's making decisions to best support yourself. And I think going through recovery of any sort, you have to be on your own side. You have to be your own cheerleader. If you're trying to better yourself while hating yourself, it makes no sense. Like it doesn't add up, and it's not going to work out in the end. And I think the final point I wanted to make from what you said is like, I think it is so fascinating, and I want to study this for my whole life, I swear, is that human beings crave emotions, but we try to qualify them. So we crave feeling happy, and we crave feeling fulfilled, and we crave feeling loved. But what we do is we say, but we can't feel that until we have this. We try to qualify everything. And it's because we're taught that. It's because we're shown that. It's like, it's because this is what happy people have. This is what happy people look like. Like it makes total sense. You're not crazy for anyone listening. But for me, I realized that like, I can feel good about myself any time of the day. I really can. Any time of the day, whatever I'm going through, whatever I look like, it's my decision. And at the end of the day, I actually crave my decision. I crave my approval. I can't stress that enough. Like after struggling for 10 years, if you'd told me this 2 years ago, I'd have been like, yeah, whatever. Like I need people to love me. I can guarantee what human beings truly crave is emotions, and they crave them from themselves, and you don't have to qualify them.
Validation, right? I will be so honest, like I crave external validation because that's what I was taught, right? If somebody says that they loved me, it's because I'm lovable. Mm-hmm. So working through that, I can give myself my own validation. Yeah. Because a lot of the times people are not going to give me that. And It is the hardest thing to give yourself the permission to say, it's okay not to be okay, right? Or, Maria, you're doing great. And be your own cheerleader instead of being, you know, that person that's booing in the stands as, you know, whatever's happening in your life. And for years, I was so like that. I'm like, I'm gonna better myself. And then I was like hating on myself in the background. And one of the things that I look at it now, it's love myself even when I hate myself. And that is so deep for me, right? Because my brain, and I always say this, like I live in a brain that, or I live in a body that my brain hates, right? And my brain is always trying to battle something. If I'm happy, oh, well, why are you happy? There's something wrong with that, right? Let's self-destruct and press that button, right? And that's my brain. And you know, for some reason, that's my brain, and that's totally okay. But it's about acknowledging, validating, and really figuring out, okay, what are those feelings behind that? And that's something that I do a lot of self-reflection, right? And it's like, and my therapist does this all the time. And you know, she'll say, I'll say something, and then her response is, go with it. Like, where am I supposed to go with it? Like, what does that mean? And she goes, just go with it, right? And as I'm processing different things, my brain starts to really figure out where certain things started to happen, right? So you're talking about when's the first time that I felt rejected, right? And that was like elementary school or like kindergarten, right? When little friends, like little people wouldn't talk to me. That was the little people. And that really stuck with me. And now I'm 24 and I still feel the same way. And what happened in that period of time, and how do I get out of it? And her response is, go with it.
That's
Right?
amazing. I
And it bothers me so much.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it like frustrates you, and like self-development is the most frustrating thing on the planet. It really is, like, because.
It's really about like going from survivor, or you know, victim, survivor to thriver. And it doesn't matter if you spent 10 years as a victim, that's okay. And then you'll move to survivor and then to thriver. Like I spent years as a victim, right? It was somebody's fault. It was always somebody's fault. When I made a bad decision, when I, you know, make drastic changes in my diet, it's the media. It's this, it's that. Mom, it's your fault because you're commenting on my weight. And then, but I never took accountability for my actions. And I never looked at myself and say, okay, what happened? How did I get here?
Oh my
Right?
gosh, no, you're preaching in the choir, because I always say it's not, I we and we're not saying, I never want to say like it's never your fault. It's never anyone's fault that you struggle with any mental illness, that you went through some sort of trauma that now is coming out in whatever way, shape, or form, but it is your responsibility to do something about it.
Absolutely.
And that's why everyone is dealt a different hand, and everyone struggles in completely different ways. So it's everyone's responsibility to do something about it. And I think the greatest thing you can do is own it. Like she said, go with it, own it. It's happening, it's here. What are we going to do about it? Because if you don't own it, that's when you think you can't change it. And so it is hard. It's hard to say, like, take responsibility. But that was when I finally changed my life. And I'm sure you're the same way. Like, I was like, I'm not a victim to this. I don't, one of my favorite quotes is, you don't have to believe everything you think. In fact, you shouldn't. Like, you should really question what you think and how you, what beliefs you hold about yourself, and self-discovery. And because our brains are always trying to protect our little Emily or little Maria, always. But little Emily and little Maria was decades ago. And throughout our lives, it will always be trying to protect us without that, without our brain realizing that what it's protecting from, it doesn't necessarily need to do anymore. And we're ready to take over. Because when you're a kid, you can't, you don't know how to like protect yourself on that kind of a mental, emotional level. So your brain stores it and is like, we're terrified of this. We can never feel this again. And like rejection's a great example. When I was younger, I was so terrified of like judgment or criticism, right? And then when I started my blog a year ago, I'll never forget this. I like had someone reach out to me and gave me like very constructive criticism on my blog. And my immediate reaction was like, I'm gonna die. Like, I was like, I'm gonna die. I'm literally gonna die. I don't even know how I'm gonna, oh my gosh. But then I sat with it and said like, and is it actually like what? Like asking it very logically, like, is it the end of the world? Like what's going on? And so to not get angry with your brain, to go with it, your brain's trying to protect you, but we're ready to take over. And that's what I did. I took over and I was like, I can handle this. It's literally constructive criticism because I have already built up my belief in myself. I know who I am. I know what my purpose is. I know what I'm doing. And I trust and I support Emily finally. Like after all those years, I don't need these kind of like freak out jump scares over things that used to freak me out or jump scare me.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Whew. I know that was, no, that was a lot, but I really want to know, Maria, like I've loved talking to you. We'll have to do a part two because holy crap, there's so much for us to dive into, but love I really want to know if there was like one piece of advice you would leave with someone who's ready to just take that responsibility for what's happening, what would it be? And that might be a hard question.
You're worthy of recovery. And either that or you're a puzzle piece and you're not broken. Because they're both together, mm-hmm. right? It's so, so important to me. And that's how I got here to who I am today and where I am today. I'm not perfect whatsoever. Like I struggle. I will continue to struggle, you know, and that's okay, right? I don't have to be perfect all the time, but I'm not broken. There's nothing wrong with Maria, right? Maria is not depression. Maria is not anxiety. Maria is not an eating disorder. I struggle with, right? And it's about taking my power back. And it's about saying, absolutely did society think that I was broken, there's something wrong with me, because that's what they told me for years. And I said, well, why am I handing over my power to people in a nice little platter, right? I'm like making it pretty and I'm saying, here society, here mom or, you know, friend, here's my power, do what you want with it, right? And I said, absolutely not, not today. I'm taking my power back because there's nothing wrong with me. I'm not broken and I am worthy of being happy and I'm worthy of recovery. And I have to say that every single day.
Yeah. Oh my God. I always say like never take advice from people paying or never give your power to people that are living rent free. And what I mean by that is like at the end of the day, you're the only one up there in your brain that lives in your body, that lives your life, that knows everything that's going on, that, you know, is on the battlefield, so to speak. And so don't put people living rent-free in your head before you. You're paying rent. This is you. This is your life. What you do only truly affects you at the end of the day, and how you see yourself only truly affects you or holds you back at the end of the day. And take the feedback from the person paying rent. That's what I always say. So I thank you so much, Maria. Holy crap. Like, thank you so much for being here. Like I said, we're going to do a part two because we can talk forever and I love it. But if you guys are interested, like please connect with Maria. I will link her everywhere on this podcast. Talk to her. She's an absolutely inspirational, motivational speaker on mental health, especially around like my audience with eating disorders and eating disorder recovery. And I just can't wait to talk to you guys really soon. And this week, just go and go with it. I love that. So talk to you guys real soon.